Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. So we're at the tail end of a very intense sugya, where the Gemara was discussing the second halacha in the Mishnah, daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, right in the beginning of the perek, which discussed the halacha of mefarcheses. So we know that if one is shechts an animal, a kosher shechita, the animal is still alive. It's mefarcheses, so it's literally hanging on to its last few moments of life. The halacha is that even though it's alive, if somebody would take an aver or basar from this animal and eat it, he would not be over the iser aver menachai, he would not be over the iser basar menachai. And even though he's removing an aver or basar from a live animal, but being that the animal already had a kosher shechita, that's enough to remove the iser Eiver Menachai and the Isser Basar Menachai. Because the definition of Chai as it relates to Eiver Menachai and Basar Menachai is not physically whether the animal is alive or dead, but rather it's whether the animal had a Shechita or did not have a Shechita. Loi b'misa talya milsa, ela b'shechita talya milsa. For that reason, if the animal's mefarcheses, it would be okay to eat. The Mishnah discussed the case where someone shechted an animal. It was mifarcheses. It was not a kosher shechita for a very obvious reason. And still, on some level, we'll say that being that there was a kosher shechita, will somehow in halacha view the shechita as a shechita. What was the case? Where somebody shechted a behemet meya, a non-kosher animal. This week's parasha talks about the non-kosher animals. So somebody shechted a gomel, a shafan, an arneves, a chazer. He shechted a non-kosher animal. He shechted it with the intention that a goy should eat it. That's poshit, the shechita is not a kosher shechita, because it's a non-kosher animal. How could you shecht a non-kosher animal? Stating that, if the animal's mefarcheses, we're going to look at the shechita as if it's a shechita to the extent that we'll now view the animal as dead, so that it'll be subject to tumas eichlin. Because only a dead piece of meat is subject to tumas eichlin. A live piece of meat is not subject to tumas eichlin. L'chura, at first glance, this animal is alive. But being that it had a kosher shechita, and in Hilchos Shechita there's an idea that if you give an animal a kosher shechita, even if it's still alive, it's mefarcheses, still the animal's considered shachut with regards to the halachas of Eivim and Achai, as it relates to this animal as well. Even though it's pashut, the shechita was not a kosher shechita. Why not? Because it was a behemet meya. But if there was a maisa shechita, even if the animal's alive, we're going to look at this maisa shechita as if it effectuated a real shechita to the degree that we're going to look at this as being a piece of flesh of a dead animal, thus will be subject to the halachas of tumas leichlin. The Gemara and Daf Kuf Chafala from the days brought a very long brisa, and one of the things that the brisa mentioned was another example, another application of the same exact concept, and that would be what happens if a non-Jew would shecht a kosher animal with the intention that a Yid will eat it. The animal was mefarcheses. There too, said the brisa, this animal will be subject to the halachas of tumas leichlin. Why? Because being that there was a shechita, even though the animal's alive, now we look at it as a piece of meat of a dead animal, there's going to be tumas leichlin. The problem is there was no shechita. The guy is the one that shechted it, and we know that a yid has to shech. And any Yehudi is possible shechita. The Teretz is, it was farta maisa shechita, and therefore we deem it a shechita at least to the degree that you'll have the halachas of tumas leichlin. Either way, the Gemara discussed it in very great detail. There was a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya, whether if somebody would remove an aver or a kezayis basa from this animal that's mifarcheses that really didn't have a kosher shechita, but on some level we view it as if it did have a kosher shechita, would it be an iser aver menachai? Did it be an iser basa menachai? The Gemara had a tanya kavase, the Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, the Gemara concludes this discussion with a few more interesting shailas regarding this halacha. Boy, Rabbi Lazar, Shabba, Doris, Bamahu. What happens if the yid who shechted in the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, or the non-Jew that shechted in the Braisan, so he shechted, it wasn't a good shechita, but on some level it was a good shechita. What happens if while he was doing the shechita, he violated some of the halachas in Hilchos Shechita? So we know there are 5 halachas l'moshe misinai that govern every shechita. You can't do shia, you can't do hadrasa, agrama, etc. So what happens if this person messed up in the shechita? Shaba, daras bamahu, do we say that, oh, now it's not a kosher shechita anymore? So if it's not a kosher shechita, it won't be subject to tumas leichlin, or do we say this was never a kosher shechita? I mean, this whole thing on some level is really all in our imagination, that we're somehow making believe it was a kosher shechita. So the fact that a goy shechted doesn't bother me, but the fact that Shabbat and Daraspa is going to bother me, the fact that you're shechting a chazer doesn't bother me, but the fact that it's Shabbat and Daraspa is going to bother me. So that was the Shiloh, very nice Shiloh that Rabbi Lazar asked. Omaleya, who Saba? So there was a Saba who answered. Who's a who Saba? So Tosis throughout Shas says that wherever the Gemara says a who Saba, it means Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi chimed in, and he said, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Tzricha Hechsha Shchita Kebehema Tahayu. Now you have to prepare it literally as if you were shechting a behemoth Torah. Says the Gemara, Hechshel Amai, what does that mean? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok Bedik Asakin. Even have to check the Sakin. So that's Pashat. As it relates to the actual Shechit, you have to make sure it's a Kosher Shechit. We'll look away in our Mishnah from the fact that it's a behemoth Meah. We'll look away in the Brisa from the fact that it's an Eni Yehudi that's doing the Shechit. But as it relates to the Chetzah of the Shechit, it has to be perfect. You have to make sure there's no Shabbat Daras, but you even have to check the Sakin to make sure that there's no Pkimos in it, to make sure that this Shechitu was done 100%. Another Shailah, Mausha Tatzel Ala Bluin Shabbatoich. So we're familiar with the halach of Tumas Meis. Stating that, the halach is that if somebody would swallow something, so let's say somebody swallows a ring, walks into an Oyel HaMeis, the halach is that the ring that's Balua inside the person that swallowed it doesn't become tamei tumas meis. And even though technically it's under the same oil as the meis, but being that it's balua inside the person that swallowed it, there's a halach of tumas baluin. If somebody swallows something and now enters an oil ameis, the person is tamei tumas meis, but what's balua inside the person will not be tamei tumas meis. Now this is only true if the person's alive. What if the person, Rahman al-Son, dies? So a dead person or a dead animal doesn't have the ability to be matzel, something that it was baleya. So the question is, this animal right now, that's mifar cheses, if it had something balua inside of it, would we say that the animal is matzel on what's balua on it, in it, or is it not matzel on what's balua in it? What's the crux of the question? Do we look at this animal as if it's alive? Do we look at it as if it's dead? If it's alive, it's going to be matzel. If it's dead, it's not going to be matzel. And this was the question. This animal that is alive, but at the same time, we look at it as if it's dead with regards to Tumas Oichlin, despite the fact that it's still Mefarcheses. How about with regards to Tumas Balua? Do we look at it then as being alive, or do we look at it as being dead? Amalei. So the question was asked from Rav Sheshes to Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira told Rav Sheshes, Metame Tumas Oichlin Umatzeles. How could you tell me it's going to be matzel? If it's Metame Tumas Oichlin, that means we look at it as if it's dead. If it's dead, it can't be matzel. Amalei. So Rav Sheshes told Rav Zeira, I hear, but I can spin it the other way. Ain't Metame Tumas Nevelos Veloy Tatzel. It's not Tame Tumas Nevelos. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, while it's in a state of Mefarcheses, it's Metame Tumas Oichlin, it's not Metame Tumas Nevelos. So if right now it's not Metame Tumas Nevelos, then how's it possible that it shouldn't be matzel? Says Omar Bayos. Abaya said, what's the achra? Eina matzelos ala bluin shavisaycha. It can't be matzel ala bluin. Dame tame tumas oichlin. Being that it's tame tumas oichlin. And then Abaya said another halacha as it relates to this animal that's alive, it's hanging on to its final moments of life, its mifar cheses, stating that we look at it as if it's not alive with regards to tumas oichlin, that vaharoiva, if someone would be roiveya, arayos, with this animal, chayev, he would be chayev, da ina metame tumas nevelo. Because with regards to that, we would say, for sure, we look at it as, it's maisa, it's alive, and it's not tumi tumas nevelo. Either way, you have to start going through each subcategory in Shulchan Aruch. Do you look at this as a live animal? Do you look at it as a dead animal? So really, it's a little nishtahi nishtaher, and a little bit satanst of tzvei chasenes, because to some degree, we look at it as if it's alive, to another degree, we look at it as if it's dead, tumas leichlin, tumas nevelo, tumas beluin, roivach. Either way, that concludes the first part of today's talk. The Mishnah had discussed different parts of food, whether they're mitzarif or not mitzarif to the shir. The Mishnah had said, this was the first halacha of the Mishnah, Arva, Reite, Vakipa, Va'olol, Va'atzomis, Va'gidim, Va'krenayim, Va'tlofayim, mitzarif and Matame Tumas Oichlan, Abaloi Tumas Nevelis. These things are all mitzarif to the shir kebeya that Oichl needs in order for it to become Tame. They're not mitzarif to the shir kezayis that Basar needs in order for it to have Tumas Nevelis. One of the things mentioned was the alol, Then the Mishnah concluded with another halacha regarding the alel. That was Rabbi Yehuda. We saw this a little bit in yesterday's daf. Alel hamechunas. That if the alel was gathered together in miyech by gezayis b'magam echad, if you have a gezayis in one place, chayiv all of you going to be chayiv. Meaning, even though the reish of the Mishnah said that this alel is mitzdarif for tumas leichlin, it's not even mitzdarif for tumas nevelis. So you can't even use a little bit of this alel to be mitzdarif to the shir gezayis of tumas nevela. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible that you can have a whole gezayis of alel and it will be Tomei Tumas Nevela. How's it possible to have that? If the aloe was mechunas, if it was gathered together, then the aloch is, yesh by kezayis, b'makim echad, then you're going to be chayv. Now, in yesterday's daf, we had a discussion in the Gemara, what exactly aloe is, right? The Gemara began, daf kufchaf aloe amid aloe, my aloe. And Rabbi Yochanan said that what it means is martika. It's referring to the cervical ligament. This is a gid, it's a sinew that's in the spine, it's in the neck. Rashi said it's wide, it's white, it's very hard, it's not edible. And as a result, it has a very special place in halacha. Reish Lakish says that it means basar shepoltasay sakin. It's referring to the meat that is attached to the hide of an animal when the animal is being flayed. That little meat, even though really it's basar, but being that it was removed from the animal during the flaying process, so on some level the person was mevatel that basar while he was flaying it. That's what emerged from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and that's why it has a very special place in halacha. And the Gemara concluded that even though it's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish what exactly alel is, the machlokes is only said with regards to the reisha of the Mishnah. Meaning when the reisha mentions alel, where there's a distinction between whether the alel is mitzdarif for tumas oichlin versus tumas neveilos, there Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish debated what the Chachamim meant when they used the word aloh. But as it relates to the last halacha in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda used the same exact word, when he said aloh there, for sure what he was referring to was basa shepalta seisakin. Because as it relates to martika, you can have all the martika in the world. It's not going to be mitzdarif to a shir nevela. He said, if you take the basa shepalta seisakin, says Rabbi Yehuda, if it was mechunis, then the halacha is, if you have a kezayis in that case, you're going to be chayv. Either way, the Gemara is now going to discuss a little bit shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and this next little bit of Gemara is not so easy. It's really shocking. it's really based on a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, which is Sunday's Daf. The Gemara is going to go into it again on Sunday's Daf, so we'll start it now and really go into it in greater detail, Mitz Hashem, in a few days. But either way, says the Gemara, so Yehuda said, if the aloe was mechunas b'makam echad, the halacha is, if you have a kezayis, it's going to be tomei, even tumas nevela. No, it's much harder to create a tumas nevela, as we see in the Mishnah. But if you have a kezayis of aloe mechunas b'makam echad, that's enough, even for tumas nevela. This is only true if the person himself gathered it together. So if you went and you took a kezayis of aloe, you started piecing it together, then this halacha is going to be true. But let's say it happened by itself, or an animal did it. I don't know. It happened in some other way. Then this halacha, it's not going to be true. Meaning, if you gave it to chshivas by bringing it together, that's where Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha. I'm Rabbi Yehuda said another halacha. Shnei chatzoy zeisin sheyesh al gabi ha'or mevatlon. So again, a kezayis of basar nevela is metame tumas nevela. Nevela's metama b'maga u'b'masa. So one of the chidushim of Tumas Nevela is that it's not only metama b'maga, it's also metama b'masa. So Rav Huna came along and he said a halacha. He said, what would be if somebody was carrying a kezayis of Nevela? Yes, a kezayis of Nevela, it's Tumas Masa. But it was two pieces of Nevela, each one measured a half a kezayis. And the way it was just physically situated was each half a kezayis was attached to arm. So you had a piece of skin of an animal, a hide of an animal that had a chatzizayis, not a big share, he had a little bit of basar, and then there was another big slab of art that had a little bit of, and he's carrying both of them. So Rav Huna said a halacha that it's not going to be mitzdarif. Two half a zesim, sheyesh al gabe ha'ar, the ar is mevatel. Meaning the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, the ar is mevatel, this half a kezayis, so if I don't have a half and a half, I can't make a whole, because each half is batel. Says the Gemara, libedaman, that l'chura, if you learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Kaf Aleph and Aleph, you would know that this halacha that Rav Huna said is mamash a mefurish Mishnah. It's kedai to see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah over there brings a machloikis, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Or sheyesh aleha hayu alav shnei chatzoy zeisim. If somebody had or. And there were two half a zesim on the art. Metame b'masa v'loy b'maga. Divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva, I'm v'loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. So that's a mefurish machlokes. Rabbi Yishmael says again, if you had on the art, two half a zaysim. It's not metame b'maga, but it is metame b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says loy b'maga for loy b'masa. Kum tzakein Rav Huna and Amoira generations later, and what Rav Huna say? Shnei chatzoy zaysim sheish al gabi yor har mavatim. It's not going to be metame. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, why are you saying this halacha? This is already it's a mishnah. Everybody knows this mishnah. Say the Gemara, I'll be the man. Who's Rabbi Huna going according to? Yeah, I'll be the Rabbi Yishmael. Is he going according to Rabbi Yishmael? It's not true. Rabbi Yishmael said not that way. Ha'amar loy mavatolar. He said it's true. Two half is eight, and not matamat tumas maga, but they are matamat tumas maso. The Eali with Rabbi Akiva is going to Rabbi Akiva pshita. That's Rabbi Akiva said. I'm a mevatolar. Some man of shach. Is Rav Huna going according to Rabbi Shmuel? Then it's not true. Is he going according to Rabbi Akiva? We don't need Rav Huna for that. That's pshita. So what's Rav Huna the Amoira coming to add as it relates to this halacha in tumas nevelos? L'chayr, it's something that the Tanam already discussed in a mishnah, no less. So he was coming to say his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. L'chayr, how can he be saying his halacha aliba de Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael said mefurish that you don't say the or is mevatel the half as ice. It is going to be metama tumas masa. It's mamish, not like what Rav Huna said. Says the Gemara, v'chiyam Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Huna held the chiddush that this Rabbi Shmuel said is halacha that loy mevatel lor hani milu shbalta sechay. That's only if a chaya was the one that removed these two half azaysim. But if a person was flaying the animal and he himself removed a little bit of the basar as he was flaying the animal, that basar has no chashivas. I mean that basar has no chashivas. He would be carrying a half a gazayas of that and half a gazayas of that again. There wouldn't be mitzdarif. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel holds conceptually it's possible to be mitzdarif two half azaysim of basar for the sheer tumas maso of nevela. That's Rabbi Shmuel sheet in the Mishnah. But kumtz again Rav Huna, and he said that's only if an animal, for example, was what removed it. But if a person flays the skin of an animal and he, by when doing that, removes a little bit of vasar, there's a new halacha that the maisa hefshet, the maisa flaying it, is mevatel the chashivas of that vasar, and that vasar will never be able to be mitzdarf. So Rav Huna was saying a chiddush, he was coming to qualify Rabbi Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi Shmuel's halacha that the two hafazesim are mitzdarf is only true if it just happened by its own. Or polta seichaya. But polta seichakin is going to be different. Zok the Gemara Toshvat. Rabbi Huda said in our Mishnah, ha'olol ha'mechunis, if you had it all together, mi'esh gizayis, v'malkam echachaya v'nol. V'am Rav Huna. And Rav Huna said, v'usha kinsoy, this is only true if the person himself brought it together. Now, I'm Rabbi Shlomi, polta seichakin, Rabbi Yishmael, n'amig loy batal. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Shlomi, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, even if it's polta seichakin, it's loy batal, meaning even if you flayed it, that loch is it could still be mitzdarif, not like the Gemara just said, Rav Huna was saying in his pirish on Rabbi Yishmael. So Rav Huna damak Rabbi Yishmael, that it makes sense. This first halacha that Rav Huna said, what was Rav Huna's first halacha? That if a person flayed an animal, he has this olol. What's the olol? That's the basar that came off while he was slaying the animal. He gathered it together. Basar mechunas b'makom echad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be mitzdarf. Now, who's he going according to? He's going according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, even though he flayed it, it would work if you hold that Rav Huna said that Rav Shmuel said his halacha not only when it was paltasay chaya, even when it was paltasay sak. Eli, I'm the paltasay sak and Rabbi Shmuel bottle. But if you're going to tell me that even Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when it's paltasay sak and Rav Huna da, my command, then who's Rav Huna going like? L'chayra. In Rabbi Shmuel, in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph holds that a chatzi zayis and a chatzi zayis are never mitzdarif when it comes to nevelos. So Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah that says all the olol could be mitzdarif, definitely can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Definitely can't be going according to Rabbi Kiva. Elamai must be going according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds two chatzi zayis and could be mitzdarif. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where he flayed it, and Rav Huna said that Rabbi Shmuel never said his halacha when he flayed it. So then Rabbi Huda Adama command. He doesn't stem with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah Daf Kuchav Dalet Amud Aleph. That's obvious. He also doesn't stem with Rabbi Shmuel based on the way Rav Huna just explained Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ella, you have to say, La'olam paltasoy sakin the Rabbi Shmuel loibot. You have to say that really, even if it's paltasoy sakin according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not going to be bottle. Meaning, even if it was paltasoy sakin, Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet, that the two half is Eisen Amet Starif, it's true if it was paltasoy chai, it's also true if it was paltasoy sakin. If that's the case, who's Rav Huna? What's Rav Huna's chiddush? Rav Huna said halacha that two half is esim are not mitzdarf. The Gemara didn't understand what exactly Rav Huna's chiddush was. Is he saying that Rabbi Shmuel? It's not true. Rabbi Shmuel holds two half is esim are mitzdarf. Is he going according to Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara's gash was pshita. That is what Rabbi Akiva said. So the Gemara had no choice but to come up with some novel
point that Rav Huna was making by saying that he was going to leave it to Rabbi Shmuel, and he was qualifying Rabbi Shmuel by saying that Rabbi Shmuel only said his halacha by paltasoy chaya, not by paltasoy sakta. But now we're falling off of that. So then, what exactly is Rav Huna coming to say? Zokta Gemara for Rabbi Huna, Domek Rabbi Akiva. Rav Huna was coming to say Rabbi Akiva. Aye, what's the kasha? Pshita? Gemara, I'll tell you the chiddush. Ma'ad teim, I would have thought kikam Rabbi Akiva, hani mili paltasoy sakta. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says halacha, that's if it was paltasoy sakta. Now, paltasoy chaya loy pato. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only said his halacha by paltasoy sakta. It's the same svar in the reverse. We're saying it's more mistaber that it shouldn't be mistarif when it was paltasei sakin. Because by you removing the basso as you're flaying it, you're being mevatel the chashivas of the basso somehow. So maybe Rabbi Kiva only said his halacha by paltasei sakin. Maybe he didn't say his halacha by paltasei chaya. Kamash malon. That was Rav Huna's chiddush. The time of Rabbi Akiva, mepnei sha'ar mevatlon. Rav Huna gave a reason. The chiddush of Rav Huna wasn't the halacha. It's Rabbi Akiva's halacha. The chiddush of Rav Huna was the reason that he gave for his halacha, because that's not something that's mufurish in the Mishnah. Daf kuf chav dalad amadal. Oh, then the Gemara is going to say that in 1 second. You're asking good, and the Gemara is about to say that. Look, but either way, that's Rav Huna was coming to Mechadish to emphasize the reason. The reason is the Ur is mevatlon and has nothing to do with the fact that you were mevatlit when you flayed it. It's the Ur that's mevatlit. L'may nafkimina, if it's because you were mevatlit, then it would only be true by Palta Saizakin. Because it's the Ur that's being mevatlit, it means Rabbi Akiva's halacha is going to be true, even if it's Palta Saizakin. Inside, Kamash Malon, time it Rabbi Akiva, Mnesha Ur mevatlon, therefore, Loishna Palat Chaya, Loishna Palat Sakin. And then the Gemara says, Your Kasha, Kidiktani Seifa, and really it's Mufurjan the Seifa, Mnei Ma Om Rabbi Akiva, Metair Ba'ar, Mnesha Ur mevatlon. And your question is Hajra Kushal Luduchte. So again, what's Rav Huna's Chiddush? So I think for now we'll go weiter and we'll pick this up in Yetz Hashem on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalid Excel. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Bike. So the first Mishnah from here until the end of the Daf is lighter. So the first Mishnah mentioned Ha'or as being one of the things that are mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Leichlin, but not mitzvah for the Shir Tumas Nevela. Zok the Mishnah. It's not true for all Or. There are certain Oirois of certain animals and creatures with halach is different. Those Ors are considered oichel unto themselves. Zok the Mishnah. Ilu Sharei Sevi Kibsaron. The following Oirois I treated like basar. Or ha'adam. So a person, a kezayis basar of a human corpse is metame tumas meis, even tumas oil. What about the Or? What about a person's skin? Is it mitzdarif for the shear? Or is it not mitzdarif to the shear? Says the Mishnah, Eilu sharisein kibsaron, or ha'odam, va'or chazir shal yishu. The or of a chazir that lives in the yishuv. Rabbi Huda says, af or chazir abar. Even the or of a chazir that roams in the wild. Va'or chateri shal damal arako. The or of the hump of a young camel. Va'or ha'roish shal eil arach. The or of the head of a young calf. Va'or ha'prosos, the or of the hooves of an animal, the or beis haboishes, that's the or of oisei makoim of a female animal, the or hashlil, the or shal tachas ha'alyo, the or that's underneath the tail of the animal, the or ha'anoko v'akoyach v'alto v'achoymet, those are four of the shmoyne shrotzen. So all those oirois are treated like basar. You don't remember, you just says, I'll talk a chulna. No, Tanakama, you said that the anoko, the koyach, the haltoah, and the chaymet are all considered shrotzim whose oirois are kibsar. I disagree with haltoah. Haltoah is treated like a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. And that oir is not kibsar. Chulon, as it relates to all these oirois, she'ivdon, oish, hilach ben kidei avoid it, if somebody would walk on them or process them at that point, it for sure wouldn't be considered basar anymore. So in its natural state, the oir is considered basar. But once it goes through the tanning process, at that point, it's not considered basar. Chutz me oir adam. With the exception of oir adam, there's a chumrah, the Gemara is going to give a reason for it, that even after it's processed, somebody did that, or tanned it, actually made something from Ur Ha'adam, it would not lose its status of Ur Ha'adam, it would still be Metama, one last halacha, Rebechem Benuriyah, Meshmoyne Shratzim, Yesh Lehen, Ur is that it's not only the that all Shmoyne Shratzim, their Ur is not considered Kivsar. Zok the Gemara Amar Ula. Ula said, Var Toira Ur Ha'adam Tahar. So the first halacha of the Mishnah said, Ilu Sharisen Kivsarim was Ur Ha'adam. And then the Mishnah brought up Ur Ha'adam a second time. What was the second mention? First one was that even though Ur is usually not treated like Basar with regards to Tumah, that's the first Mishnah in the Perek. Ha'or v'harayt, right? Name of the Perek. So that was the first, very first halacha of the Mishnah, stating that, as it relates to Or Adam, it's one of the exceptions to the rule, Eilu Shairei Seyem Kivsar. So Or Adam is unique in that the Or is treated like Basa with regards to Tumah. It has another unique quality in Hilchas Tumah, and that is ordinarily oirois, even the ones that are like basar, once you process them, once they go through the tanning process, at that point they're certainly not treated like basar anymore. Chutz mi oir ha'adam, zok de gemara. Ula said, var teira oir ha'adam tar. Really, midai raisa, oir ha'adam is no different than the oir of a behema. It's like ha'or v'haroite v'hakipa v'alol, etc. Really, it should be treated like... Not like basar. Matam amru tame. Why then did the Chacham say it's tame? Gzeirish hamayasa adam oiros ava v'imay shatichim. Es tamaisa. We're concerned that somebody's going to take the oir of his father or mother, Rachmana Litzlan, and he's going to make a couch out of it. He's going to make a pillow. He's going to make a chair. Says Toisvis. We don't want him to do that. Because if he does that, he's going to be Mavaz's parents. Which Toisvis says is chamur tuva. It's very, very chamur kibbutz, right? Even though kibbutz is only a mitzvah saseh, and ain koifin al kibbutz, because it's a mitzvah saseh, and schara betzida. But at the same time, we know it's a mitzvah chamur adlamoid. It's chamur tuva, says Toisvis. So we're worried about a person who may take the oir of his parents, and he's gonna make things from it, tapestries from it. So exactly, that meshugana. This is who we're worried about. So the chachamim said, I have a way of preventing it. You know how you prevent it? It's tamei. Oh, it's tamei. Now we're ready. He's not gonna do it. We'll get back to this. Some say that this halacha, this reason was said not on the Reish of the Mishnah, but rather was said on the Seifa of the Mishnah. So we said that Oira Adam is mentioned twice in the Mishnah as being unique. Number one, it's one of the Oirois that are Kivsara, not like the Oirois mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Perek. Number two, ordinarily, even the Oirois that are treated Kivsaran, that's only when they're in their natural state. But once they go through the tanning process, at that point not. The Mishnah said, Chutz Miyara Adam. So in the second version of the Gemara, Ula Zalach was said not on the Reish of the Mishnah, but on the Seif of the Mishnah. As we're going to see, there's a very important Nafgamina Lahalacha where the Ula's comment was made on the Reish or on the Seif. So it was regarding the Seif, Omar Ula Dvar Taira Oir Adam Shavdei Tahar, Matam Amrutam, Exer Shemayasa Adam, Oir Zavav V'imoy Shatichen. He said that as relates to the Seifa, it's over there, midai raisa, really, if you'd process the oir of Adam, of course it would be tar. It's because of this chashash that someone's going to make something out of the oir of his parents that the Chachamim made this gzeirah. The one that had Ula's comment of dvar toira oir adam tar on the reisha, certainly on the Seifa, meaning Ula holds that the whole idea that oir adam is treated kifsaron as only a dinder rabbanan, not a dinder raisa. Man the masni haseifa lava reisha tuma dey raisa. One that had on the seifa holds that really Ula holds that oir adam is tamim midei raisa. The only time Ula said oir adam is tar midei raisa is in the case where it was processed. Being that it was processed midei raisa, it's tar. It's only over there midrab. Meaning the nafkamina between the first lashon of Ula and the second lashon of Ula is fundamentally whether this that we say that oir adam is kifsaron, is that a din dei raisa or is that a din dira banan? According to the first lishon in the Gemara, it's a din dira banan dvar toira oir adam tahar. According to the second lishon in the Gemara, that is a din dira oir raisa. So just to pause for a few moments, and that is, so the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that oir ha'adam is treated kifsara, meaning the oir of a human corpse is tameh, it's only a din de Rabbanan, certainly according to the first lishon in the Gemara. Why would the Rabbanan make such a takana? If midday raisa, oir is not treated like basar, so why would the Rabbanan go ahead and make such a chumrah? They said because they were worried about a person that may go and take the oir of his parents, make a pillow, make a chair out of it, and if he does that, he's going to be mezalzel in the covet of his parents. We know the Gemara says, mechabdei b'chai, mechabdei lacha moisa, that a person has an obligation to mechabed his parents even after they're not alive anymore. And this person is going to violate mitzvahs kibbutz of aim, says Tosfos, the chomer tuva. So to prevent this from happening, what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim said, it's tame. Oh, if it's tame, now we're ready, all bets are on. What comes to mind is the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there discusses the history of the Geirolois that they used to make every morning in the Beis HaMikdash to determine which Kayin would do which Avoida. The Gemara says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa, there was a story of Shnei Kayhanim, Shoyu Shneim Shavim. There were two Kayhanim that were running up the ramp. They both wanted to do the first mitzvah that was done every morning on the Mizbech, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Kadam Echad, they have Vutoich Abba Amish Al Chavera, and the race is on, and they're within four Amis of each other. Not Al Sakin, the person who realized that he was about to lose, took his Sakin out, right? The Kayhanim used to carry a Sakin. Vitokal Dloy Beliboy. And he stabbed the person that was ahead of him. He literally stabbed him. So now he was able to win the race. Omad Rab Tzadik Amaylas Ulam. So Rab Tzadik was there. He got up on the steps of the Ulam. The Omar and he gave his Rasha. He said, Achenu Beis Yisrael, Shimu,
give a kick, or more accurately, listen to what just happened. The pasuk says, "Ki yimatzeh chalav adam v'yatzus kenecha v'shoyftecha." We know that if you find the corpse, and the end of parsha shoyftim, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of egla harufa. Now we just found the chalal, and the chalal was found in the Beis Hamikdash. See, he said, "Rabbi, I'm going to ask you a question." Alamdish shayla, all the lamdim. He said, "Who's supposed to bring the egla harufa now? Amila havi egla harufa aloir." Should the whole Yerushalayim bring it? Or maybe Alo Azorois, maybe the Yidden and the Azara. And he wasn't looking for an answer. He was trying to make a point. He was trying to show the Olam what just happened. I mean, the Torah talks about Shvichas Damim with the Egla Rufa. And here we had Shvichas Damim literally on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says that the Olam listened to Rab Tzadik's Joshua, Kalu Kalu Ambepchia. And they all cried. But Aviv Shaltina, as this Joshua is going on, in this very poignant scene, where all the Kayhanim, everybody's crying, listening to Rab Tzadik, give them a Musar Shmuz for how terrible the situation devolved to. So the father of this child, Rachmana Litzlan, that was just stabbed to death, he comes running, he saw that his son was mefarcheses. He wasn't literally dead yet. Omar, he said, Hareyu kaparaschem. He said that my son's death, let this be a kapara for what just happened. And then he said, Vadayim b'ni mefarfer. He says, look, my son is still alive. V'lo nitma sakin. The knife is not tomei. Go chap the sakin. So this is the father of the child. He goes and he tells them, go grab the sakin because it's meparcheses, not a sharsugis. And he said, you can grab the sakin out because it didn't become tamei. He says, the Gemara, that you want to see what the state of the union was at that time. They went and they chapped the sakin to make sure that it would have become tamei. And you see from here, that to the oilam then, the laws of tamei v'tahaira were more chamer than shvichas damim. And a shvichas damim took place. And that somehow, on some level, was okay. But the fact that the keli was going to be tamei, that's a problem. So go ahead, quickly, remove the sakin. It's like, this is going to be tamei. So you see from here, shekosha aleim tahayras kelim yoisim shvichas damim. The Olam used to take tumah v'tahayra more seriously than shvichas damim. So it's very gishmak our Gemara. Says the Gemara that they were trying to prevent people from being mevaza their parents. You know what they said? That if you're going to make a chair, you're going to make a couch out of the or of your father and your mother, the couch is going to be, oh, tameh, that already they're not getting involved in. So to be mevaza the parents, keep it over aim, which is chomer tuva, no. But as it relates to tumah v'tahira, that they took more seriously. Is it a chiddush? No, it's not a chiddush. It's a Gemara in Yuma, daf chof gimel amud aleph. The Gemara says, lamedcha shekosh aleim tahiras kelim yoisem mishvichas damim. It's interesting that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Yotes, in Yeridea, Sif Cotton, Dalit, and Hay. The context over there is a chashud. Right, so sometimes a person can violate a certain halacha in Shulchan Aruch or a certain mitzvah, aseh, lois aseh, and become a chashud for that thing. And if you're a chashid for something, we don't trust you as it relates to that particular item to which you're chashid. And it impacts many areas in halacha. Hilchas Eidus, Hilchas Shavuos, could you be a shaychid? If somebody is chashid in a gevissa area, so it impacts the reliability that this person is now going to have in that area. It says the Shulchan Aruch, ha-chashid l'davar echad, enei chashid l'dvar macher. If someone is chashid for one thing, he's not chashid for a davar echad. Skip it. Says the Shulchan Aruch weiter, but a chashid al iser chamer. If someone's chashid for an iser chamer, chashid al akami menor, then he's going to be a chashid for the davakah. So even though it's true, a chashid al davar echad, ain't a chashid al davar macherim, that's only if they're equal. But if someone's chashid for a davar chamer, right, if someone is not nizer in a machalei sasurais, then certainly he's going to be chashid for something that's only about nefesh yach, right? Because one is more chamer than the other. So there's a concept of a chashid al iser chamer. That person is chashid for iser akal mimenu. Stating that, says the Shulchan Aruch, a very important caveat, that when is that true? That's only elim kein chamer be'enei bnei adam. He said that's only true that if people actually treat the Isser Chomer as being more Chomer than the Isser Kal. I mean, if you have two Isurim, and one in Halacha is more Chomer than the other, but Be'enei Habriya, it's not necessarily that way. So then, this Halacha is not going to be true. Meaning, this that we say, a Chashad al Isser Chomer is Chashad al Isser Kal, you know what defines Chomer and Kal? Not for Shteit and Shulchan Aruch, but people. This is about human psychology. If somebody is chashid for this, doesn't mean he's going to be chashid for that. It really depends on exactly what people think. And it's all Be'enei Abriyos. So you're going to tell me, what do you mean? This is so chamor. This is not as chamor. I hear, but that's not what governs this halacha. What governs this, try not to give examples. What governs this halacha is Be'enei Abriyos. It's not what was actually stated in Shulchan Aruch. And just to bring out this point from a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber gives an example. And this is many, many simonim later. It's in Yoyredeo also. It's in Hilchas Yayin Nesech. It's Simin Kuf Chav Tes Sif Katan Yod Dalet. Zok to Shulchan Aruch. Zoyna Oyvedes Kechavim the Mesibas Yisrael. There were a bunch of Yidden sitting together. They were eating. They were drinking wine. And there was a Zoyna, a non-Jewish Zoyna. So the halach is Hayayim Mutter. You're allowed to drink the wine. Now, why would you think you're not allowed to drink the wine? Out of a concern that maybe the Zoyna, who's a non-Jew, touched the wine. Once she touches it, it's Maga Oyvedes Kechavim. It's also Vishtir. You're not allowed to drink it. I mean, this is Yayin Nesach 101. So the halach is that if she's sitting at the table, it's okay. She'im Anichin Oysel Nesach. Because it's understood that she's not allowed to touch the wine. What if it was in the reverse? What if a Zoyna Yisraelis is sitting with the Mesibah of the Kechavim? So there the halacha is, Yena Shala Zoyna Gam Kenasa. The Zoyna is not allowed to drink because there the sitting with the Kechavim, the Kechavim touched the wine, so the Zoyna is not allowed to drink it. Frank the Taz, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, what's going on over here? You have a bunch of Yidden sitting together with a Zoyna. Oyvedes Kechavim. And we have a Shiloh. Is the Yayin Mutter? Is the Yayin Asa? So really, the Zoyna sitting there. She touched the wine. No, no, the wine's Mutter. You know why? She'ein manichin oisel anase. Because no one's going to let the Zoyna touch the wine. Why are they not going to let the touch the wine? Because they're very from. Because there's a halacha of a Stam Yenam, of Magayah. In fact, the Taz, they're sitting with a Zoyna. So they're not worried about Kili Arayis, but they're worried about Stam Yenam. It's like the Taz, yeah. Yeah, that's the short answer. And he says, take a look at Yerideya Simin Kuf Yud Tesef Katan Hey. That there's a concept sometimes, Be'enei Abriyos, that one thing will be a lot more chamer than the other. So here you have an idea where it was very chamer by them, Stam Yenam. But they, you know, they're not going to let her touch the wine, but somehow the Arayas part, that they don't have an issue with. Unbelievable. Varm the floor. But either way, this is a machaber again. In Yerideya Simin Kuf Yud Tesef Katan Hey, and in Yerideya Simin Kuf Chav Tes, Kuf Yud Tes, and Kuf Chav Tes, Sif Katan Yodalit. You know, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Brun and Shaar Mitzion and Ba'alacha. So whenever the Gemara talks about such an idea, he always brings out this Ha'ar. He's Mayrich on this in a lot of different places with a lot of beautiful Mayrim Mekoymas. One Mayrim Mokim that I saw in the Shaar Mitzion and Ba'alacha is he brings a tshuva from the Heilige Divrei Chaim. That the Divrei Chaim's tshuva is in Yerideya Chelek Beis. It's Simen Kuf Zayin, and the tshuva was written to his son, the Bnei Chavivi, Harav Hamor Hagadol, Tzadik Mefursim Chorif Ubaki, Moreno V'Rabbeinu, Harav Yecheskel Shraga of Bezdin, the Shinova. So this is the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shinova Rebbe, who was the Divrei Chaim's son, and he wrote a tshuva to him. And this is a tshuva that's negay the halachas of Bechairah. So maybe we'll revisit this in a few weeks, Metz Hashem, when we start learning Mesechtes Bechairah. But it was negay Bechairah's Bizman Hazeh, with taking a non-Jewish partner, right? Taisvis and Bechairah's Tapez and Medbez, etc. The first sugya in Mesechtes Bechairah. But either way, he writes this whole tshuva, does the Divrei Chaim to his son, about how you're supposed to go about Bechairah Bizman Hazeh, with Machlekes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, with Kesef and Meshicha for Oivdei. But yeah, clearly ain't coming going right. But either way, so says the Divrei Chaim at the very end of the tshuva. These are the last two paragraphs. He says, "Agam sheyodati shabavoy nesenu harabim ami b'makol yishol ubefrak beine alomdim beineim isid rabbonim kozeh kalamoy." See, now I wrote this long tshuva, but let's be honest. At the end of the day, this is not an area that people take too seriously in halacha. This is a dover that's kal ma'od. And says that the Divrei Chaim, she'abavoy neseinu harabim, he says, unfortunately, today, machmirim b'chasidus, there are people that are very machmir in certain areas, they're big chasidim, but umakilim b'mashech mir Torah. And they're big makilim with things that the Torah said. So when it comes to things that are extra credit, that you don't have to do, mili de chasidus, we find that people are very, very machmir. But when it comes to things that the Torah was machmir, that's okay. Va'oimrim, and you know what they say? She'bidiyevet al koponim kosher. Is it okay, bidiyevet? So it's a dovah she'achmira b'Torah, but it's okay, bidiyevet. I mean that it's okay, bidiyevet. They are somehow fine with that. And then the Divrei Chaim gave an example of it. He says, u'kumosh ha'shamati b'dayonim rabim. She'nekolahem, I've heard that many dayonim, these are people that write gittin. They write gittin. And they're very mekel, l'hashmet shem aviho isha b'get. So sometimes they won't write the Isha, who's being divorced, father's name in a get, Imrak Einam Yoidin Lichtav Kinei Hashem. They don't know how to write it 100% properly, the kinui of his name.
you know, what he's referred to as, his nickname, so to speak, sometimes they'll omit it completely. Also, very often I've heard that there are people that write gittin, and they'll write the name of the man and the name of the woman that are getting divorced, but if they have certain nicknames, names that they're referred to, so Yaakov, Yanko, like they'll leave these nuances out. So what do they write? Rak Shema Nikola Sefer Torah. And they do a Machmas Psakura Mozal Evan Ezim and Kufchav Tesef Chiyutres. I should be doily achrein and manish betchuvas umichtav eliyoz achrein and vracha poislin umma'ane befishualim ktanim halal. Listen to this lashon. He says umma'ane ma'ane lashon umma'ane, we have a baltfila here, befishualim ktanim halal in the mouth of these shualim, shekein mekubul biyada migaoine dar shalifaneinu, that they have such a kabbal. Ubeemes hagdoilim zal shaper asu, shekein masu biyadeinu migdoil yashkenaz, shabim iyef shalovay al tchunas Hashem, sagi b'shem hachanicha, oishem the Sefer Torah l'chud. It's true, there is a Messiah, that b'di'evet, if you write the name that the person is called up to the Sefer Torah to, it's going to be okay. That's true, but that's only true if it's b'di'evet. But if it's not bidi, but if the bidi evid is the fact that they just don't know, and they decided we're going to be soimich on the bidi evid, and we're not going to do our due diligence to find out to the best of our ability what's going on, he says, "Vevaday asu lichmois lismoich alzeh v'yasu sheva legodol ador." You have to go ask shaylas. Vehim yevaru eich lichtoiv sigdon Hashem. Vein loy mehaloy bidi evid kosher. Ze enoy kimavur back double the sefer shmois. Dal zeh nemar kol she'ini b'deah. But if gittin loy yeloy esek imam hagam the bidi evid kosher. And then he writes at the end, "Ula." He says, woe is to me that I had to witness this in my generation. We have people that somehow, when it comes to gittin, something that's so chomer, that being soimich abidiyevet. Hashem atoiv yechaper v'nislach laldas Yisrael. Then he writes at the end, v'nei loikosafti kol zer rach loidiach koisha divrei emes ka'oves ben yiratzes. And I'm telling this to you, you have to know this. Avul yodati, I know, ki shualim ketanim heimel. He uses this lashon again. He's referring to them as shual. Right, but either way, he says they're not going to listen to you. But the punchline, what he was trying to tell him was, is he says, you know, unfortunately, I see this a lot. And by the way, saying to a rabbi, machmirim bechasidus. The Rechaim were very passionately about it. Give an example, gittin, Spamish all over the place. But he felt very, very passionately about this idea. And this, again, this is an idea that's already brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudei Simen Kuf Yotes, in Yerudei Simen Kuf Chav Tes, the Gemara in the Sechtes Yumadav, Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, Lametcha, that was Kosh Aleim, Tyrus Kalem, Yoisim Eshvichas Damim, and you have it right here, tucked away, the Sechtes Chulin, Dav Kuf Chav Bez. That it was more chamed by people tuma than it was kibud avim. So a person would maybe be mavaz's parents to make a couch out of the ur of Rachmana Litzlan, his parents' corpse. But if you tell him he's going to be tame, then already somehow that's going to get him to stop. Either way, zok de gemara vayta. The Mishnah said v'or chazir, the ur of the chazir. So the halacha is, it's unique in that it is kivisar. Stating that, we had a machloikis. Is it only the chazir of the yishuv, or is it also the chazir that roams in the wild? So up to Michael, what's the beer in the machloikis? Very simple. The beer in the machloikis is just more physical. The texture of that or. If the ur is considered soft like basa, then we would treat it like basa. If it's considered hard, then we wouldn't treat it like basa. Machloikis was, is it considered soft, or was it not considered soft? Ur chaterish al gomel harakba. The ur of the hump of a young camel is also treated like bas. Kamagomala rak. What does a young camel mean? Amar Ulo, Amar Rabbi Shulban Levi. Ulo sent the name Rabbi Shulban Levi because manchloi ta'ana. As long as this camel didn't have any load carried on it, that would be considered young. So it's not so much about age. What it really means is did it physically carry a load? Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, but Rabbi Yirmiyah wasn't so sure. He said, he is madalitavalei ta'ana mai. What if it's old enough that it can start carrying a load, but it didn't physically carry a load? What be the halacha of that? I cleared the reverse question. What if it really wasn't old enough to carry a load, but we put a load on it? What would be the halacha of that? Take it. Yes, Reish Lakish coming by you. Reish Lakish once sat down and he asked the same question. What's the age of this young camel where a reseyem of its hump is kivsar? Amalei Rabbi Shmuel ber Abba. Hach Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Shmuel Abba told Reish Lakish, I heard the name Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Chol zman shalei ta'ana. As long as it didn't carry a load. Amalei Reish Lakish was so happy with Rabbi Shmuel ber Abba told him. He was so excited. He never heard this. He said, wow, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, he gave that as the age of the gomel haraka. He said, tivle kabli, have a seat, sit right next to me, or right across from me. He was mechabed him. The Gemara says that
there was another story with another gadol, Rav Zeira. Yes, Rav Zeira, come by there. Rav Zeira once said, and he asked the same question, Kama gomel araka? What's the age of the gomel araka? Amalei Rav and Bar Chinina. So Rav Bar Chinina told him, Hachi Amar Ula, Amar Bishom Levi. He said, I also heard from Rav Bishom Levi, called Man Shalei Tohana. He said, as long as it didn't, and have a katanila. And the Gemara says that Rav and Bar Chinina, he repeated to Rav Zeira, he said it a second time. So he told him, he gave him his answer, and then he repeated the answer. So Amalei, Rav Zeira told him, Chada Havalon. What, you only have one thing to say? That you have to repeat it? He said, Amrit, Hashem Gezuk, you don't have to say it a second time. And the Gemara comments, Tochazi, ma bein tkifa aridi Yisrael, l'chassidei d'bavel. Take a look at the difference between the takif in Eretz Yisrael and the chassid in Bavel. Who was the takif in Eretz Yisrael? Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was a takif. We'll read Rashi inside. Rashi gives examples of where you find Rish Lakish was a takif. Reb Zeira was the chassid in Bavel. Yet, Rish Lakish, when he heard from Bishmol Reb Yois, from Bishmol Bar Abba, what Reb Shmuel Bar Levi said, he was so excited that he was mechabed him. He said, wow, thank you so much for giving me this piece of information. I never knew how to define the Gomel Araka in the Mishnah Chulin Kuf Chavez Amanal. And he said, have a seat, and he gave him covet. Reb Zeira, who was the chassid in Bavel, counterintuitively, right? Just that's what the comment is. The comment is the irony. Is that the Reb Zeira the chassid, what did he tell Rav Bar Chinina? He almost mocked him in a way. Kadiyachol. He said, what, this is the only thing you know that you have to tell it to me twice? Not only wasn't he mechabed him like Rish Lakish was, but to the contrary. So where do you find that Rish Lakish was a takif? And where do you find that Reb Zeira was a chassid? So Rashi says as follows. Rish Lakish mitkifet arad Yisrael. Five lines from the bottom. Kidar minu perek kamad yuma. Like you find a yuma daf testament base. Mandem ishtoy Rish Lakish ba'adeh. If somebody would see somebody talking with Rish Lakish, yavalei iska b'loy sahadeh. People would trust this, but Rish Lakish didn't just talk to you. So if Rish Lakish was having a conversation with you, it meant you were an erlich mensch, so erlich that people would go ahead, they would lend money to, they would give him an iska, right? They would invest with him. But lo sadi, they wouldn't even need aid him because they would trust this person 100%. Chasam Sofer says, in Torah's Moshe, in Parashas Mishpatim, Al Toshes Yotche Im Rasha, Liyos Eid Chamas. That people have to be careful who they associate themselves with. Specifically, chashiva people. Because if you are going to associate, if you're a person of chashivas, and you now associate with Pliny, people are going to assume that that Pliny is a good guy. And they may go ahead and trust him. And they may give him something b'loy sahadi, like the Gemara says about Rish Lakish. And you know what's going to come out? That you being together with this Rasha ended up being Eid Sheker. Because you're testifying, so to speak, by being chaver with this person, that this person is a good guy, when in reality he's not a good guy. So he said, imagine Rish Lakish would have spoken to somebody that wasn't Erlach. Somebody would have trusted him, b'loy sadi. The next thing you know, l'hadam, l'hayidvar me'ayla, migus, right? You would have the whole bava kam, bava mitziyah, bava masters. Well, kamein tzuras. So here, you have to be very careful. Rish Lakish certainly did who he spoke to. So says the Hilgich Sam Sofer, al toshes yotche in Russia. Don't just go ahead and become a chaver with a Russia. Because Leo is saying, Chavas, you realize if you're going to be chavering with a Russia, you're saying, Eid Sheker. Because people are going to assume this Russia is not a Russia. Because otherwise, why is this person associating himself with him? And at the end of the day, a terrible churban can come about from that. But either way, so this is Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish was from the Takifin. B'hach, and what Reish Lakish do over here? When he heard this pshat, he wasn't a Takif. He said, Tiv l'kabli. But Reb Zeira, the Mibavel, Salik l'hachak, the Mibavel, Salik l'hachak, the Reb Zeira, even though Reb Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, right, Reb Zeira, the Gemara, land of Ksubis, and Megillah, different places, but the Gemara talks about Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira's Hesped, Bavel, and Eretz Yisrael participated in the Aspedim of Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira was a product of Bavel and a product of Eretz Yisrael. But either way, Reb Zeira, who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Zeira, Oisif, Arbon, Tanesi, Dinish, Takach, Menei, Tamud, Bavloi. So he first learned Talmud Bavli, and then he fasted 40 Tanesim that he should forget Talmud Bavli. So Rashi is just bringing an example of where you see that Reb Zeira went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, Uma Chasidei de Bavel Hava. Reb Zeira was from the Chasidim of Bavel. Chidar Mina Basaychas Apoyalim. Reb Zeira, Yosef, Kol Tausen Yoimin, Bodik Navshe, Veshoga Tanur, Vesoli Begava. Reb Zeira used to sit in an oven, a tanner, every 30 days. To see if he would be singed, to get an idea of the ish of Gehenim. Either way, Reb Zeira was a tremendous chassid. And what did Reb Zeira do? Chazi mai achsefei lahu mid rabbanon. Achsefei is a lashon of embarrassing. Look at how he treated this one of the rabbanon. Either way, I'm not sure what the punchline is, but the point is the Gemara is certainly remarking rhetorically that give a kick, that Reish Lakish, who throughout Shas you think of as being a takuf over here, he was so happy with this vart that he heard, he said, Tiv l'kabli. And Reb Zeira, whose personality throughout Shas is that of a chassid, Chassid. Over here, it was just the opposite. Either way, V'ar HaRosh. So the Mishnah said that the Ar of a Rosh of an Egel Arach is also Kibsar. Kama Egel Arach, what's the definition of a young Egel? Ula Uma Ula says, Ben Shnasai. Up until 1 year of life. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kozmanchi Yoinik. So according to Ula, it's the first year of the Egel's life. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's as long as it's nursing from its mother. Iba Ilu, Heichi Kamar Ula. How exactly do you understand it? Did Ula say, Ben Shnasai, Husha Yoinik? Ula said two things. It has to be less than a year old and nursing. Rabbi Yochanan came to say, no, all you need is that it should be nursing. Ula gave one qualification, not two. He had one criteria. It just has to be Ben Shnasai. It doesn't matter Ben Yoinik, Ben Shayin, or Yoinik. Rabbi Yochanan said Ben Shnasai, Vahusha Yoinik, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying two. So was Ula saying two, Rabbi Yochanan said one, or Ula needed both criteria? One of the criteria, Rabbi Yochanan said, you need both criteria. So, Gemara Tashma, Diktok. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kolzman Sheyoynik. The word Kolzman. Then Isa Vusha Yoynik Mibay Leishma Amino. Kolzman is Mashma. All you need is one. So, Ula held that it has to be within a year, and it has to be Yoynik. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kolzman Sheyoynik. No, as long as it's Yoynik, doesn't matter how old it is. Had Rabbi Yochanan been the one that was saying you need both, he would have said Vehusha Yoynik. He would have been adding. It's Mashma, just the opposite. What's the halacha about the Ur of the head of a young eagle? With regards to what? Sheyitama. Is it mitama or is it not mitama? Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan told him, Ain't it mitama? Amalei. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan the obvious question. What's the question? It's on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentions one of the Elu Sha'irei saying Tivsaron is the R of the Rosh of an Egel Arach. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan essentially the halach of the Mishnah. He said, what's the halach of the R of an Egel Arach with regards to Tumah? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's not Kibsaran. So Amalei, so Reish Lakish told him, Adatanu Rabbeinu, you're the one who told me the Mishnah. Elu Sha'irei saying Kibsaran. And one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is V'ar Rosh of Egel Arach. Amalei, so he told him, Al Takni Teini, don't ask me questions from that Mishnah. B'loshin Yochid Ani Shoinoisa. We've had this already a few times. L'il Daf Nun Heyam Beis, L'il Daf Ayin Zayin Amin Aleph. He said, it's true, I taught you that Mishnah. But that Mishnah, which Mishnah? The Mishnah that we just learned. So usually it's that Mishnah. Now it's our Mishnah. It's this Mishnah. The Mishnah that we just learned is the opinion of a Yochid, the Tanya. Where do you see that? It's a Mefurisha Brisa. In the Mishnah, it sounds like it's a Stam Mishnah. But the Brisa tells the rest of the story. And in this case, the rest of the story is just who the author of the halacha is. It's a yachid. I mean that it's a yachid. Rabbi Yochanan didn't pass in that way. Time we learned to the brayis. Asho yichid. That's all. If somebody shechts a carbon oil, hakta kizayis meyosh tachaz alyo, and he had a mind to be makter a kizayis of the or that's underneath the tail. Chutzlam kaimai. If he had a mind to do chutzlam kaimai, pasul vei mekars. Chutzlam manai. Pigel v'chayav an alf kars. Basic pigel. Meaning we look at the or shetachaz alyo as being basar. As a result, this is a regular carbon oil that was brought with a machsheves pigol. Chutzim kaimai, what's the halacha of pigol? Pasul ve'im by karis. Chutzim mani, what's the halacha of pigol v'chayav and all of karis? Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum oimer mishum rab Yaakov. V'chein oir rab Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum oimer mishum rab Shimon. Echad or prasois. Ve'echad or haroi shel egal arach. That's what we need. Ve'echad or shel tachasa alyo. V'kol shem manu chachamim gabi tumah. And all that were mentioned by the chachamim regarding Tumah, Sha'irei Seyen Kivsara. And so usually when Chazal bring this Braisa, it's not really relevant to what we're learning, other than a prat. But this is Mamash Ar Halacha. Elu Shemanu Chachamim Gabi Tumah Sha'irei Seyen Kivsara. That's Mam. We're learning Oktza now, right? We're learning Perikar Varaitim. These are our Sugyas. Lahavi Arshal Beis HaBoshes. And that's coming the rabbis, even the Ar of the Beis HaBoshes. Everything was mentioned in the Mishnah. Chutzim Kami Pasav Eim Bekaris. Chutzim Mani Pikam Chayav and all the Karis. Meaning that treated like Pasar. So said Rabbi Yochanan, it's true. The Mishnah says that all these Oirois are Kivsara. The Mishnah said it in the context of Tumah. I don't paskin like the Mishnah. How can you not pass like the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah. And we know Rabbi Yochanan holds halachic Stam Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish that this is not a Stam Mishnah. This is a Yochid. Who's the Yochid mentioned in the Mishnah? It's a Braisa. Now the Braisa was said regarding Pigel. It's a Kachem de Gebraisa. And it's the same halach, albeit a different application of it. That all these Oiris are considered Basar. Thus, if somebody would have a Machsheves Pigel regarding them, the halach is, it would be Chalva. It would be Chal Pigel. We would view it as Basar. The punchline as it relates to this Gemara is that who said the halacha that these Oireis are Basar regarding Pigel? It was Elazar ben Yehuda ish Avlam in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. And it was Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish Kfar Ikum in the name of Rabbi Shimon. The point is, it's a Yach. I mean, it's four Tanoim that I mentioned. But it's Yechidim in the sense that it's not a Stam Mishnah. I mean that it's not a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, I don't hold like this Mishnah. You have a Mishnah here? Very nice. But Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, the halacha is not going to follow that Stam Mishnah. We will conclude a very festive week of Daf Yoimi right here.